Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Villa Speaks. I am very excited. Today we've got an amazing guest, Anita R. Johnson. She is a financial psychologist, and I'm saying before I even bring her on the program, I'm going to have her back again because I know the challenges that I've had with money, and I've always had good-paying jobs and things, but I've never had a good plan with money and not a good relationship money, not a healthy relationship with money. And so meeting her, just it was good to see that someone, you could tell the things like, I'm afraid of money or I'm not good with money or, you know, that you have to be able to talk to someone honestly about what's going on with your money and then have an expert. You know, I was in this group one time that says, you know, why would you ask advice from someone who's broke? They don't have the advice. Oh, you know, we go to experts for everything else, but when it comes to our money, we want to go to people that aren't experts, and it doesn't make sense. You know, you don't just walk up to somebody down the street and ask them, you know, I'm having this pain. Can you diagnose what's going on with me? You go to an expert. And so I am so thrilled to have an expert on the show today that can help us get straight to make these last 4 months the best month of 2018, and to set a solid foundation for 2019. And I'm definitely going to have her back. We'll need her in January to get started, not to get started, but to continue with the great work that we are doing. And so get your pens and your papers or turn on your recording things. It is my great pleasure to have today Anita Johnson, who is a financial psychologist. She's also an entrepreneur, speaker, writer, and author. Her book, Money Wisdom for Women, and so, so much more. And so without further ado, let me bring on my amazing special guest. Anita, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
whoever
morning.
Somebody's ever listening, yes, exactly.
That's right. And good evening. And so there's a lot of things that I want you to speak about, and I want to definitely save enough time for you to talk about your retreat so that it lets people know there's a safe and sacred space where they can come and learn about their money. But let's begin with telling people how they can contact with you. And then after that, talk about the specialty, the unicorn that you are as a financial psychologist. And we'll start with that.
No. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the time that you're giving me today, because it really is important that you have a great relationship with money. Now, where you can contact me, of course, there is my website, which is AnitaRJohnson.com, my phone number, which is 916-572-9033, and Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all under Anita Johnson, financial behaviorist or psychologist, and all of that is, and that's basically my brand. Or if you want to go under Money Wisdom for Women, you can find me there as well. A lot of information. If you ever Googled yourself, you would know. And I've Googled myself, and I'm like, oh my goodness, all my business is out there, but that's okay. So that's how people. Yeah, I know that's how people can find me, of course. And so the relationship. Have you? And I'm pretty sure some of your listeners. And this is one of the questions I normally ask. You know, when I'm out speaking or if somebody is in front of me, and I say, "Have you ever been to a financial planner or a trust attorney or anybody, the banker or any of these people?" And they give you this long list of things that you can do or you should do with your money, and then you go back home and you never do those things. And there's a reason why you do or you don't do those things. And that is the job of myself, is to find out why you don't do those things. Why are you procrastinating when it comes to your money? What's your fear or what is not your fear? Because people do, all of it, I think, is fear, whether they are thrifty or they're beyond thrifty. You know, they can be frugal and then they just hoarders, or they just spend a lot of money. So all of it is not really healthy for you. And so my job is to help you find healthy ways to a healthy relationship with your money.
So I know one of the things that I did when I was at the retreat with you is you ask people to go back and think about their initial, what is their first memories about money, or so what are some memories related to money, and what is
right.
what is the purpose with that? Because I think even for me, just even recently, you know, and I'm like, I always say I'm like Anita's worst client, but I'm also grateful. Yeah, that's why I see she ain't even saying no. That's not true. She just laughed. So I'm like her worst client. I have a, I've had so much fear around money, and I didn't know where it was coming from, and I had to work on a healing and things like that. So I think a lot of people, when you say have a relationship with money, I think there's, it's sort of like a two-edged sword, because most people don't have good relationships with other people
mm-hmm.
or good relationships
mm-hmm.
with themselves. So if you
right.
can give a little bit more clarity, what do you mean? What is a relationship with money?
Well, you are right. I do ask people to go back and think about their first experience with money. Where did they think that they learned how to deal with their money? And so what that does, it actually kind of sets the foundation. As you are a child, it's like we all have a certain DNA around. We look like our parents. You know, all of a sudden after I'm almost 60, I have my mother's body. And, oh, I was like, oh, my God, really? Because I was really cute and petite. Now I got my mother's body. It's like, oh, my God, what happened to that that beautiful petite body, right? And so, yeah, right? And so now, so as you deal with money, you got that from someplace. You just didn't jump up and do it. And a lot of things, a lot of times we are not taught about money in school. We talk economics and things like that, but how to have a relationship is totally different. And having a relationship is not to fear it, not to be overly cautious, but not to be underly cautious, too, about it. And so not to be, you know, just spend. So that relationship came from someplace. If you, for instance, saw your parents fight about money, or somebody was the major breadwinner, or one person earned more money than the other person, they had a hold over the other person, or if there was a single family, single member, single parent household, and then there was supposedly not enough, then those things affect you as you become an adult, and so you fear that you will become that. Like your parents, and that's where your fear comes, and then those are breaking the chains of whatever that fear is. So what I do is I try to help you see that and break those and try to break those chains to do better. The other thing is I ask people to give me three words that describes them and money. And some of them say security, especially when I'm dealing with women. They say security. They say freedom, and they also say fear. And so, you can't. One of the things is that you can't be fearful if you want to be free of the money situation, free to do whatever you want, and then have that security too. So all those words kind of mixed in there. So you see how that's your relationship with money. So what we want to do is have a better relationship with money, because I've seen them on both ends. I've seen where people have hoarded money and hid money, and they have money, but they won't spend any. And then I've seen them overspend, you know, get their emotions like, I'm mad with my boyfriend today. I'm mad with my girlfriend today. So I need shopping therapy or therapy shopping or whatever that might be. Or they may overeat. So all of that is encompassed in all of that. And for me, I usually tell people my personal story. I was just spoiled. My dad just spoiled me. So when I got to be married, that's exactly what I thought I was supposed to do. It's like, oh, well, my daddy used to buy it from me. So if you won't do it, then I'll just ask my dad. And my dad would feed into that until one day he stopped feeding into that. And I was almost 40 before he stopped feeding into that. Now, I've always taken care of myself, you know, had a job and so forth. But if my money didn't do, I just used somebody else's money. So I had to learn. I had to really learn that.
And, you know, you're bringing back to mind a story, and I worked at the bank years ago, and I had this young couple come in. They weren't a couple. They were brother and sister, and their mother had passed away. And they said they knew she had a bank account, and they figured she had like $50 or $60 in the account, and they just wanted to close it. You know, she had passed away and take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got all the paperwork, she had like two or three accounts where together she had like $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat at my desk bawling their eyes out because the mother never, like, she lived in like, you know, they used to hate it. She lived in like this cheap old horrible place, wore her clothes till they died, you know, just was super cheap. And now, and then they realized she had been saving all that money to make sure that they had something, but she didn't spend it on herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so again,
right.
That sort of, you got, I like it that you talk about balance. Can you give some examples of balanced relationship with your money?
Sure. I have a women's group here in the Sacramento area, and we meet every second Friday of the month. And I have a young woman in that group, and I actually really like her story. Now, she came to the group because she thought she needed help with her money. And I never deny anybody if they think they need help, right? Let's hear your story. But her story is, I'm very cautious with my money, and she could be overly cautious, but she's like right on the cuff. So her thing is, you know, I want to be able to travel. She's single. I want to be able to travel. She has no kids, you know, things like that. I want to be able to travel. She said, I see other people traveling, and she says, I save my money. I put it into a savings account, which something we'll talk about later. And I put it into a savings account, and I do this and I do that. And she says, I never buy anything that is not useful. And she meant that even when she went traveling on vacation and she brought back souvenirs, she says, you know, I went to Paris one year. I didn't bring back keychains for my family or my mother of the Eiffel Tower. I bought stuff that they could use. So I never spend my money on things you cannot use. And so that made me think about one time when I went to Paris and came back with a bunch of keychains for people of the Eiffel Tower. I didn't tell her that. But it's like, oh. I was like, so she taught the group something. And that's one reason why we have the group meetings, is because everybody can learn from everybody else. All right, learn something different from somebody else. And so that,
but I don't have to live in
balance.
Sacramento, right? People can get, let me interject, people can get to your group through Facebook, right?
Well, this is a women's group that's based here in Sacramento. Now,
oh, that's right, like you come down to L.A. and do one for us,
too. Yeah, this is not a membership.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
I do want one for the L.A. I'm in the process of thinking of how to do that in the L.A. area. So, you know, you and I have to talk about that off screen.
Definitely, definitely.
But,
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're talking about balanced money.
Yeah, and so she has a balanced mentality of money. She's a little overcautious. She can go off on the overcautious part because she doesn't really treat herself. She, you know, I do buy clothes, but I don't go overboard with the clothes, right? But I only buy it because I need it. Right. And I'm okay. So, but she's there. She's really good at it. And she's brought a lot of good things to the group and actually helped me learn some things as well. Although I'm the facilitator of the group, I'm actually there to learn too, so that I can give some of those things to the clients that come and see me individually as well. So that's a balance. That happens to be a balance, relationship with money. She doesn't fear it, like most people fear it, because they won't open, you know, most people fear it. They won't even open their mail because they fear what the bill would look like. And it's not even, it's not a high bill. They just don't want to see it. They just don't want, they get anxiety over seeing a bill. And so one of the things that I have to tell people is that, bills are good because you've used whatever it is that you are using, whether it be lights, gas, whatever it might be. But don't fear it, because you'll never open the mail and you'll never pay it, and it'll come out. It'll come out too high for you, and then you have all these anxieties about money. That's not a good relationship. And so that came from someplace. Where that came from, who? That's something that we work on, that I work on with the person.
So let's talk about the safe and sacred space where people can work on their money in the weekend. Let's talk about your wonderful retreat.
Okay. So the retreat that will be our third annual retreat, and it'll be in the Rancho Marietta area, which is in the Sacramento area, and it'll be August. We already had one for this year, so this will be August 2019, August 18th through the 19th or something to that effect, in 2019. And it's called Finding Your Financial Voice. That's usually what it's called. And this one is called Finding Your Financial Voice, Your DNA, Your Money DNA, and Beyond. So the purpose of this retreat is to find out where you got your DNA, where you got your money DNA from, and how it has affected you, and what solutions can we bring to the table with that. So some of the activities that we're going to have, and this is a special one because it is the third one, and this time, usually, like I said, my group is usually women. I usually focus on women. But this time, the women can bring their significant other with them this year. And the significant other will not participate necessarily in the retreat part of it, because on the day that we have a retreat, which is Saturday, the significant other will play golf. They'll go off and play golf. Everybody will play golf. We already got it planned. And we, as the women in the group, will talk about our psychological, our fears, our relationship. We'll do a couple of games, activities with around money. And so that's our lineup for the Saturday. Now, let me go back to Friday. So Friday you come in, and we have a Friday night gathering. We're going to have appetizers, a meet the group. That's with the women and their significant others. Then Saturday the significant others go off to golfing, and then we do our thing. And then Saturday night we have an all-in-one dinner with the significant others. And then the person who's in charge of the golfing, he and I will give out golf trophies to the significant others. And then we'll have a visiting person that will come and do inspiration. And, of course, Sunday we'll wrap it up. But I wanted to – on Saturday night we have a woman and her family. Well, it's a family-owned coffee shop here in the Sacramento area. And she has three locations in the Sac. Her and her family work this business together. They work this business together. And they will give our inspirational talk on Friday night of how they got started and how they had to sleep in the coffee shops to actually get the coffee shops up and running. And she has great locations. She's got one at City Hall. She has a location right across from my office, which is in one of the best neighborhoods. It's by one of the better parks in the area. It's surrounded by, and she also has at one of the hospitals. She has a coffee shop in one of the biggest hospitals here in the Sacramento area. And I wanted her to come, her and her family to come and talk about how they did this family business and have inspiration and how they pull their monies together and how they work together as a family to make this business. Now, that is what we call building a legacy, because it's a family business. Their children and their grandchildren will have a lasting effect on that. Their financial life will have a lasting effect, and they got something that they can put their hand to. And that's what I want people to take away from this inspirational conversation that we're going to be having in August.
And it's you're talking about generational.
We're going to be talking about
a legacy and generational wealth, something that even though everyone is welcome, something that oftentimes African Americans and other people of color don't do. They don't leave a legacy, and generational wealth.
It's like the Hiltons will be here long after you and I are gone and our grandchildren are gone. So the Hiltons, what they're born into it, and that's what we as African American women or people of color need to learn to do, is to build that generational wealth, not riches, but wealth that will last forever and ever and ever. These guys, their family, whatever they do with it, you know, even if their family decides to sell it, and if the business is sold properly, they can still get the residual income off of this business. And that is, and see, they weren't afraid. Well, I can't say they weren't afraid. I haven't heard their whole story. But if they were afraid, they still pushed forward and did it. And that's what's really important, is that they pushed forward as a family and did it. And I always think that, of course, family is kind of hard to deal with sometimes. But I think that is just something that is amazing, and I want people to hear their story. I do. I want people to hear their story.
So, Anita, people are listening to you, but they still have their fear of money, or they have a bad DNA. What are one or two simple things that people can do to begin to heal and have a better relationship with money?
Well, I suggest that people do, first of all, is to write down the three words that they think of money, how they feel about money, whether that be anxiety, fear, untrustworthy because of what has happened to them in the past. Write those three words down. Go into your meditation and do an affirmation that's contradictory of those three words, that include those three words. For instance, if you have anxiety around money, you say, well, your affirmation is like, today I will not be so anxious about not having money, or I will not be so anxious about money. I will not be anxious. I will not fear the opening of the mail, because opening of the mail gives me freedom. So you're opening, I will not, you know, something to that effect. And I think, and then start writing that down, at least get your journal and at least write it down five times a day, that particular affirmation, your particular affirmation, and read it out loud. Write it and read it. Write it and read it. First, come up with the words. Write your
affirmation. Now you're in my.
You can,
you're in. Sorry, you're in my neck of the woods. So right. So that money is about. It's like a holistic thing. It isn't just about. I do these things with money, but having that relationship with money is about recognizing how you think about it. So the affirmations are about changing your thoughts. So you know, I have a good relationship with money. I enjoy my money. I gratefully and joyfully pay my bills, you know, that sort of thing, because you got to work holistically. So very good. So I'm going.
Exactly.
Go on, darling.
Yes. Yeah. And that's true. And so I often tell people they ask me what I do. And I say, you know, I'm a financial behavior psychologist, and I help you figure out what you do, why you do what you do with your money. Right. So that's my elevator speech. But also, once you start getting into it, I actually help you work through the whole. I marry the holistic part, which is what I do, with the traditional part to help you deal. Because the traditional part, people have, you know, over 50, over 80% of people don't have enough money to retire. So they work and they work and they continue to work. Now, if you're in a business like mine, where you, as long as your mind is well, you can work until you're 75, 80, right? You may not do it fit. You may not be able to physically, maybe sit, but your mind is working. It depends on your how you take care of your body and so forth. But if you have a job where you work in a factory or you're on your feet all the time, you can't possibly work at 80 to 81 years old. You can't possibly, because your feet are just going to give out. Your knees are going to give out. So people haven't saved for retirement. That's what I see a lot, is people, I haven't saved for retirement. And so the thing is I work with you holistically on your fear, why you have not saved for retirement, why you haven't invested. invested for retirement. So the, one of the first things we do is one of the things that I try to do is try to change people's or improve their mindset. So we don't use the word budget anymore. We use financial spending plan. We don't use the word savings. We use investment. You're investing this money. And we don't put money into a savings account. We go and we put money into a and I have them work with a financial planner or advisor to put money into some type of investment where it can earn some money. But we do it on baby steps. But I help you with the mindset so that you can take the baby steps to do the things that you need to do with your money. So we're working together, the holistic and the traditional part that works together.
You know, we only have about 2 or 3 minutes left. I didn't even can you give a quick spiel about, are you still doing the speaking tour with Andrea?
Yes, that is going to be in April. And, in fact, April 2019, and we will be, and I'm going to get that here for you, what date that is going to be. And that's going to be April 13th. And April 2019, and we're going to be putting out a save the date. In fact, she and I talked about that earlier today to get out the flyer for the save the date. And she basically, Andrea, I'm pretty sure she's going to probably be, I see that she's on your lineup for your show. So she
yes.
is probably, she is the person that's really pushing, she's finding a place because we will be in Baltimore. I'll be in Baltimore speaking, so that's where she is. And she knows the place and everything where it's going to be. But it is going to be April 13th. Save the date. We're going to have a save the date and when you can start registering for that. The link will be on the save the date to start registering for that event. And
all right, then
Andrea,
I'll have her talk
course,
about it
is,
when she's here.
Yeah, have her talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all right, so we're getting ready to... Excellent. So I want you to wrap this up by telling us about the books you've written and, again, about how people can contact you.
Okay. So I have a number of books. One of them is Big Girls Don't Cry, Taking the Emotions Out of Finances. And, of course, you can find all these books on Amazon and on my website. And then I have another one called Money Affirmations. And so you can do that. You can go and you can find that one. In the middle of writing two new books, one with Andrea about mental health and money, and that's going to be a real mental wellness, I should say. She likes for me to call it wellness and money. And so that one's going to be a really that's going to be a challenging one because I think my thing is I think the lack of money for a long period of time causes mental health issues.
True.
And so how you can find me again, yeah, I do, I believe that. That's a theory that I'm working on. And the way you can find me again is at my website, AnitaRJohnson.com. And, of course, Google, you'll find my Facebook page. You'll find our Facebook group. You'll find our membership there. And you'll probably find my books and everything there, too, as well. And even an email that you can email me, which is MoneyWisdomForWomen@gmail.com. So that's where you can find me.
Well, Anita, thank you. I'm so glad to have you on here. I'm going to get you back in January. You know, I'm wanting people, part of what I do as a coach is get people to look at the long view and that you can't on December 28th decide to start
right.
what you're going to do in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wanting
exactly.
to do that now. I'm probably going to try to have you back. I probably should have you back in December. But
mm-hmm.
I thank you so much. You are so good. I'm so glad our paths coincidentally crossed when we were in Philadelphia. And I will let everyone know that I'll put the link on both my Instagram and Facebook page so they can hear this again. And, Anita, thank you so much for being my guest.
And thank you for having me. I look forward to
my
being
pleasure.
On here again.
Oh, yes, my pleasure. Darling, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and everyone else, have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.